This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We are now in a conversation with Thembalethu Seyisi, who is an author and a law student. We also on the line with Advocate Jean Mering, who is joining us on the line also. We uncover the inspiring book called 21 Life Lessons at 21 by Thembalethu Seyisi. As I did mention, a third-year law student from Stellenbosch University who, after turning 21, had cause for more celebration than most other young people. Not only did he hear that he had passed all his exams, he also received the first print of a book he has authored, 21 Life Lessons at 21, on his birthday. Good evening, Thembalethu.
Kwena, good evening, and good evening to your listeners.
And thank you very much for coming through to talk to us. That must have been a momentous occasion, though. You know, on your 21st, receiving the first print of a copy of a book that you had authored. And I mean, I'm not going to talk about the whole thing of passing, because I think that was just showing off, though.
Quinn, I must take the moment to thank you for the platform and privilege, and also to extend well wishes to the Muslim community celebrating Eid. Indeed, it was a joyful day on my birthday to receive a copy of my book, and no words can explain how grateful I feel for the opportunity and for the privilege that life has afforded me. I don't think many young people has had this opportunity.
So just give me an idea that 21-year-old and you decide to talk write about this book, 21 Life Lessons. I mean, at that time, utseba anka bophelo, Thembalethu.
Exactly that, exactly. Quena, the book, there's a little bit of a story behind the book, and I'll take time to tell you and the listeners. When I got to Cape Town after my mom's death, I had met this amazing woman, Hanele Boyens, and she became a mentor to me. And she's been writing, whenever she turns a new age, she writes lessons that she's learned in the previous year, and she publishes on News 24 and all the media outlets. So I thought, oh, well, I want to do this for my 21st birthday. This sounds cool. But the coronavirus pandemic hit us, and we were all in a crisis, and we were left running around not knowing what's going to happen next. And, of course, the party was not an option because we were still under lockdown. So I thought, I've been privileged enough to meet wonderful people who could serve as an inspiration to other young people. Let me ask them, what's the one thing that they wish they'd known at 21? And so I started making contacts with people like Advocate Jean Mering, who's on the call, Prof. Tulima Donsela, Justice Edwin Cameron, the UCT Vice Chancellor, Prof. Mamokgethi Phakeng, and asked them, what's the one thing that you wish you had known at 21? But please link it to something that a 21-year-old in a democratic South Africa needs to know. And that's how the book came about. So it's 21 life lessons from 21 inspirational people. And like you said, what do I know about life at 21? So I got the South African legend to do it for me.
Let me bring in Advocate Mering on the line. Advocate, good evening, and thank you very much for coming through to talk to us.
Hi, please just call me Sean, and I'm not nearly as smooth or glib as Thembalethu.
Yeah, okay. As somebody who has contributed to this book, what was it like when you had this young man actually coming to you and talking about a book on life lessons? What was the encounter like, and what sort of persuaded you to to get on board, if anything?
Yes, well, I'm going to answer the question a little more broadly, and that is, I've been friends with Hanlie Booyens, of whom Timbaletu spoke for many years, and she told me, my being a lawyer and Timbaletu had sort of come under her wing, as it were, and she started telling me about Timbaletu quite a while before I met him, and she was very excited about his prospects, and myself being an alum of Stellenbosch, there was, and of the law school there, there was an instant connection. And at her wedding and 50th birthday a couple of years ago, I met Timbaletu, and immediately we got on like a house on fire. So when he approached me to do this, I was honored to be asked, and I thought it's a very thoughtful gesture, the book, rather than his asking me. Well, that too, I guess. But the book was I'm a great reader and a collector of books. And I think all of us have realized now recently, perhaps more sharply than before, owing to the horrific fires that ravaged libraries at the University of Cape Town. I think we all realize how precious a book is. So certainly I thought the idea of memorializing an important birthday through creating a book was a very special and a very touching and affecting thing to do. So I was delighted to take part, and I mean, it was a very humble little contribution, but Edwin Cameron at least laughed at it and thought I was taking the mickey out of Timbaletu a little bit. He's a very serious young man. But I was actually not taking the mickey out of you, Timbaletu. No, I think it's a wonderful project, and I think we need more rather than fewer books.
So Temba, again, I'm just thinking, here you are, 20-year-old, and I mean, how do you even contact this high-profile people? You know, because, you know, do you slide into their DMs?
A little bit of that, Quena, but like I said, I've had the privilege of admiring these people for the longest time. Ever since of coming to varsity, I've also been privileged to be working closely with Prof. Tulema Donsela. And when I pitched the idea to her, she said, absolutely, let's do it. This is brilliant. So that kind of affirmation and that kind of, you've got my support, also pushed me to ask other people that I have not met. Catherine Constantinides, I have not met her, but I love her work. I admire her. And she says that in the book when she met former President Nelson Mandela. She says, if you see an opportunity, take it, grab it, and go for it. You'll never regret a day in your life.
So talk to me then about just the process of putting together this life lessons, and naturally, if you look at the caliber of the people that you spoke to, you approached, I mean, these are seriously high profile people that you know, have had the experience and you know, were willing to share not only with you but with the rest of us this particular life lessons, Temba.
They are quite experienced, and they are very, very generous with their time and sharing their wisdom. So the process took about two to three months. I had the brainwave at the end of August that, okay, now I must start, now I must do something. Then I sent the letters to the guests, and I asked them, would you be willing to do this? And then Prof. Tuli came back and said, please, 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 just put on the proposal that I've agreed to do it. Then it might make the journey less daunting and more convincing for others to join. So we did that, and it worked. And people called and said, please, I want to be part of this book, and I want to give back. So it took about 2 to 3 months, and the last 2 or 3 weeks was very, very stressful. Because as you'd imagine, everybody has their schedules, and it's the end of the year, nearing end of November, and most of them are academics. It's hard time in academia, but they came through.
Advocate Mering, You know, when as an avid reader yourself, as you've just mentioned, the importance of a book like this. I mean, tell us a little bit more about that, of having a book like this that not only, you know, shares the experiences of high-profile people, but is more inspirational. I mean, it's almost like a collector's item.
Yes, well, yes, I think that's right. But I guess the important thing in answering your question is the context. It wasn't simply a vanity project. It wasn't, and of course a book doesn't need to justify itself. But in this case, it was in fact, and the sales of the book and the sales are ongoing. I believe I spoke to Tembaletu about it the other day. It was all to raise funds for a number of important education-focused projects. And also, I believe, Tembaletu can give us the details of that in a moment, but it's all for a good cause, as it were. So not only is the book in itself a good idea and something that people enjoy reading, but in fact all the money that is being raised going to very worthy projects. And Temba later will tell you it's already achieved dividends, hasn't it?
Mm. Temba?
Yes, so that is true. The proceeds of the book go to three very worthy causes, one being to help Natasha graduate. Natasha was actually a dental hygiene student at UWC, and she's been a friend of mine for the longest time, since I can remember. And she is not a South African, and we know, Kwena, the difficulties of not being a citizen in a country and how limited opportunities can be. And so she didn't have funds, and she didn't have the fees to pay for her studies, and she needed to graduate in December. And you know that South African institutions, they'll hold your degree until you can pay them back. So that's one. And we've successfully paid Natasha's fees, and she's graduated, and she has now moved on to the Eastern Cape and found a job and settled there. And the second cause then is Alf Hanokavius. The Haneli that we spoke about was diagnosed with motor neuron disease in early 2019. So at some stage, she won't be able to do anything for herself, and she would need a carer. And we are donating to that trust as well. The third one is very close to my heart, which is Action for Inclusion, which we spearhead here at Stellenbosch University. And it's just asking civil society and conscientizing them on the issue of student debt and asking, can you put something? Can you help a child graduate? Because most of the students under Action for Inclusion are students who have tasted success. They're at the verge of graduating, but money is keeping them behind. And by buying the book, you would be helping such one student.
Mm. And I mean, I can imagine beyond that, Advocate Mering, as Temba is saying, that, you know, beyond just the life lessons themselves, beyond just being this a passion project for him, it was something worthy for all these high profile people, yourself included, to get involved in, because there was a bigger picture behind it. You know, it was just about a book and having dividends, but it was for a good cause, as it were.
Indeed. Indeed. But I mean, also just, I think there's something quite joyous about a volume like this, which collects the voices of a variety of different people. So they're short pieces, easy to read, but they represent a sort of spectrum of different perspectives and different sort of approaches to life. And I think there's a joy in that sort of book, over and above the fact that it's for a good cause. So certainly from my perspective, it was, you get the brief, you get asked to write something which at first blush sort of seems quite simple, but you've got to craft something that will speak to a readership you can't predict. And then there's a great joy in seeing, once you've done what you've done, to see what other people have, how other people have approached the very same brief. So there's a certain sort of, it says something about sort of human creativity and human individuality, which is quite rewarding and exciting.
Mm. Tell me from your side, Advocate, then, in terms of the life lessons, I mean, beyond your contribution, what have you picked up from the book itself?
Well, I guess one of the things that I, and really looking at what Thembalethu's achieved at such a young age, is a realization, and it's, you know, I'm not that old, but looking back, you do sort of see how things have changed. How Stellenbosch has changed. As I said, I was an undergraduate there too, and it's a wonderful thing to see. And through friends like Thembalethu, I have a sense of that change. But also just generally how much, I guess, more empowered young people are. Of course, technology helps, and one couldn't have done this that well. It certainly wasn't an easy project, Thembalethu, I know that. But you know, the young people today, and again, I sound as if I'm ancient, which I'm not.
you and me, John. You and me.
Yes. But you know, young people, I don't know, you've all got all these names that I don't follow, generation this and generation that and millennials. I couldn't pass a test to tell you which were which. But in any case, the sort of people of Thembalethu's age today are just, they achieve so much. They don't, you know, certainly the olden days.
They make us feel like we were doing nothing when we were 20 and advocate. I mean, I'm thinking, geez, what was I doing when I was 20? I was not even thinking. I mean, right now, and please, no one should quote me on this. I've been working on my book for 10 years.
No, exactly. I entirely agree with you. And that's great. That's very exciting. It's wonderful to see that, an idea was born and it came to fruition.
Mm. So let's talk about the contributors, Thembalethu, and what they brought to the book itself. I mean, clearly quite a list of them, but I'm sure, there are some for you that stood out. Just tell us about just some of these contributors and just the influence and why particularly those contributors.
Kwena, you're putting me in a very difficult
position. I know. It's like asking your father to choose their
favorite child.
No, I know. I'm doing this on purpose.
They're all my favorite, but I think, and especially in the context of your last conversation with your last guest, Kwena, yeah. I would choose Prof. Thuli Madonsela speaks graciously about the notion of leadership. And how leadership should be epic. It should be ethical. It should be purpose-driven. It should be epic, ethical, purpose-driven, with integrity and people-orientated. So, and conscious to what decision you make and what difference it will make on the lives of the people that you are leading. So she speaks about that notion on how young people should take up this thing. And when we get to these public offices, we are not so dumbfounded to what we should be doing. So that notion of epic leadership stands out for me. And Justice Edwin Cameron also speaks about charity and social justice. He contends that social justice will be brought to us by politicians. But while we wait for that social justice, we should advance charity. And Sandra Prinsloo, who's the most rewarded Afrikaans actress, speaks about finding meaning in nature. And as Advocate Meyering has said earlier on, we've found this new love for nature and appreciation after the Cape Town fires. And I think Sandra Prinsloo makes a good point that there is meaning in nature. And so, Prof. Mamokgethi Phakeng, while we are on the mountain at UCT, she speaks about honoring your name and how that's valuable and how that's a social currency, that when people speak about Kwena, they must not equate your name to corruption, to all these bad things. And she contends that's how people become successful, by honoring their name.
So I'm interested though to know what my colleague and the actual host of this show, Kaya Sithole, says, because I mean, if this were a different time, he would be doing this interview. So tell me about just his contribution to the book and what he speaks about in that regard.
I must express my most sincerest gratitude to Budkaya. He was in such a difficult space at the time with so many deadlines, and we spoke about this, but he still sent through his contribution. And he speaks honestly about his own life and how he grew up and how women in his life made him the person that he is today. And I don't want to spoil the story. I want people to get the book. And he speaks from a place of vulnerability. And I was in tears when I read the story. And I'm so grateful that he was so generous and so sincere.
All right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to get a last comment from Advocate Mehring. And I'm going to release him. And Tembaletu, I'm going to grill you a little bit further without anybody protecting you, you know?
Protect me from yourself.
So Advocate, just finally, simple question. Why should any South African get this book?
Well, South African...
Or anybody for that matter.
Quite. People should be buying books at a far a speedier rate than they generally do. South Africans, sadly, don't read a lot. And when they do buy books, they tend to buy foreigners' books rather than homegrown fiction or non-fiction. And this, by extension, par excellence, is a homegrown product by someone who essentially set up the entire printing process and editing process. So it's a book that ought to be rewarded with many people buying it, and not only because of the industry that went into it, but because it's also a very charming little collection of essays that will hopefully surprise and that will be enjoyed by the readers.
No, I'm absolutely, personally, I'm looking forward to reading that one. Advocate Mehring, thank you very much for coming through.
You know,
because of age, I'm releasing you early.
Very, very sensible. I was starting to sort of nod off. Thank you,
Advocate Mehring.
Thank you, Jean.
Okay, we are still in conversation with Tembaletu Seyisi. We're going to continue the conversation just after this.
Now, we're talking.
29 minutes to midnight in conversation with author and law student Tembaletu Seyisi, talking to us about his book, 21 Life Lessons at 21. Temba, let's take a few steps back into this conversation. If anybody would ask, who is Temba? How would you answer that question?
Tembaletu is a young man with very big and ambitious dreams for his country. He was born in Uitenhage in 1999 on the 2nd of December. And he is currently journeying through life and questioning the notions of justice, the notions of fairness, and why are things looking the way that they do despite so many years into democracy and despite the world-renowned constitution that we have. And he's passionate about using the constitution to fix the social injustice that ails us. And he's family-orientated. Mm. He's well-loved by his family and his friends.
Mm. Well, you're an author. We would love you, you know. I would love an author in my family. You're bringing the ching-ching.
Unfortunately, with my family, it comes in and goes out to the causes.
Well, that's how money should be handled. So tell me, I mean, as a young man, as you say, who is passionate, and again, as a young person, maybe you will understand better. Have you always been woke? To use that phrase.
I don't consider myself woke, Gwena. I look at Twitter and I see people being cancelled, and I think, I thought this way as well. But I'm not too outspoken on social media, so I don't get too much in the firing line. But I don't think I'm woke, but I'm very much questioning on how things are and why they are the way that they are.
That is the definition of woke right there.
Very kind of you.
Yeah. So, to my point, I mean, have you always been driven to dream big, to change the world, to change the country that you're living in, to in every small way that you can, you know?
Yeah. I think it started at the age of 13 when I lost my mother to diabetes. My mom was diagnosed with diabetes, and she died about 3 weeks later. And I questioned, and she's been going to the clinic. She had high blood, she had other diseases, and she's been going to the clinic and doing monthly checkups. But I questioned, why did the state clinic never see this? I mean, if you are diagnosed and you die 3 weeks later, that means you have had this disease for quite some time. It's not new. So at the age of 13, I had those conversations with myself at the face of injustice, because it is unjust when a young boy loses the mother due to the state's incapacity and incompetence. So I wondered, and then I started to see, but this is not unique to me. It happens to other people as well. And that's where my notion of justice transcending just me and just us, people who look like me and who sound like me, to justice for all. And so I started to think, okay, maybe I should do something about it if it bothers me so much. So I think at the age of 13, that fire started to come up, and I started to question all these things.
So it's one thing to question. I mean, I know the loss of a parent can change, and especially a mother for that matter, can change your conditions completely, you know. In terms of adjusting and really getting yourself, did you feel that you had that support that took you to where you are at the moment?
Absolutely, absolutely. So after my mom passed on, my sister V Class took me in. She also contributed to the book. And she's been an enormous support, and she's given me so much support, and from other family members as well. And I've never felt that I can't go home and say I am overwhelmed, or I can't go home and say there was nothing that we couldn't debate. There was nothing that we couldn't say at home. So that support system enabled me to be creative and to think outside the box, with the knowledge that I won't be judged. Yes, I will be questioned to why I think this way. I'll also question them why they think that way. And it will be a debate, and we'll find common ground. And when I came to Stellenbosch as well, I was privileged to have good friends. You would see Akona did a blurb for the book, and Amanda Takis also did. And they supported me in my dreams, and they did the whole thinking with me. And I think Prof. Thuli has been the greatest affirmation. Whenever I call and say, but Prof, what is this? Why is it this way? And she would take time to discuss it with me, and we would have that conversation. So I think I owe a great deal to the people that I've mentioned, and I'm supremely grateful for their support.
Have you always wanted to write?
Absolutely. My sister reminded me, I started writing on her laptop when she came back home. I think it was about 2011 or 2012. I have something in her laptop about our family life. But I also, when you would know the Xhosa guys go Esuthwini to the mountain, I had a small book. I actually should start refining that and publish something from that. So I've always been writing, Kwena. I've always had the passion of writing and telling stories.
So in terms of honing that in, was it a conscious decision to say, I know I've always wanted to write or be a storyteller? Is that what led to this particular path of you? And are we expecting more from Thembalet to the author?
I think Papa also played a huge, a great deal in pushing the thing to get the book published. But in hindsight, with the privilege of having the experience, I think that fire that has always been there to write. And when the time came, I just took it. And I've been now approached by so many other young people who also want to tell their stories and who also want to write. But you would know, Kwena, our economy is in shambles. Mm. You would know that it's not an easy thing to publish a book. You need, although you might have the social capital, you actually do need the financial capital as well. Mm. And I am stuck in that motion now. Young people coming and saying, we also want to write a book. We also want to publish a book. And unfortunately, I have to say, write, yes, write, mm. keep it. And when you do find that generous donor that says, I will pay for the publication of this book, and then you already have something at your back pocket.
No, absolutely. So what did you want to do as a youngster? Well, you're still a youngster, but what did you, I mean, you're studying law, you're an author now.
Yes.
Is this the space that you always wanted to find yourself in? Or maybe you wanted to do music, you wanted to do gom music and I'm a piano and kwaito and all those things, or you wanted to be a dentist. Is this where you've always wanted to go?
I was never clever enough to do anything close to medicine. So I wanted to do journalism. I think that's where my love for writing also came in. And I was privileged enough to be mentored by Haneli, who's a seasoned journalist. I mean, she's had many, many awards of being the most brilliant journalist at News 24 at Dasperth. So being close to that, I think she's my alter ego. Whenever she writes and I read and I'm like, but I want to write like this. So I wanted to do journalism, but I grew up in a poor family, and that's the truth. We wouldn't be able to sustain ourselves if I did journalism. So I took up law in a way to enrich myself, but
necessarily your first choice.
So law was never my first choice. Journalism was my first choice. Mm. But I took law, and I think I've made the right decision, not for money.
I'm not convinced.
Not for money, Quena.
Yeah,
let me tell
sure,
you.
Yeah, sure, sure.
On how you can just use the law to change people's lives.
And once you
read the Constitution and you feel the spirit and purpose and objectives of the Constitution, you are like, there's no way that things are still the way they are. There's no way that a face of a black woman in South Africa should be the face of poverty. That's not what the promise we get from the Constitution. And with law, you can actually change those situations, literally.
We are in conversation with law student and author Thembalethu Seyisi, talking to us about his book, 21 Life Lessons at 21. If you've got comment, questions, you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to join in 0861-987-000, tweets at PowerFM987, or you can tweet me directly at Marara Moabelo for those questions and comments. So, how far are you with your studies? Wapasa?
We are cruising. I can say.
I told you are a show off when it comes to school.
Without fear of contradiction, we are cruising. so, just to correct you, when I published the book, I was in my third year, but now I am in my fourth and final year. It feels so final. So yes, this is the final year, inshallah. Mm.
Okay, and Wapas, you didn't answer me properly.
Properly.
I love what's the big idea then? Beyond this.
So beyond law, I would very much love to do articles and get admitted, but I think there's enough people doing the lawyering. There's enough people going to court and standing in front of the judge and convincing that my client didn't do this. But there isn't enough people with the knowledge of the law that goes to the legislature and says, this is not how our country should look on paper. This is not how our law should be. For example, just a day or two ago, Most people didn't know that Parliament is amending the Equality Act. And most of the things, it doesn't make sense, most of the things that Parliament is proposing. Why are we moving from the current Equality Act as it is? It is actually regressive, most of those amendments. So we at the Social Justice Chair made a submission to say, Parliament, we are not entirely in agreement with what you are doing. So there isn't enough people doing that. That's my point. And I would really love to go into that space.
Mm. Going back to the point of changing the world, you want to change the world. And I think that's admirable. And as Advocate Meron was saying, that, you know, especially for young people, we have this tendency now as the older generation to talk about how young people are not focused, young people are not, you know, are busy with YouTube and influencing and all those things. But of course, there is this other side that we're seeing. And from your side, as a young person yourself, I mean, what would you like, you know, what sort of message do you want to send to young people through this book?
So firstly, the book can do many things, but I think firstly it's an RDP of the soul. I think it's former President Nelson Mandela and Thabo Mbeki who bought into this idea of RDP of the soul, reconstruction and development program of the soul. So that's what the book will offer a young person to see. But Prof. Madonsela was a dropout at university, but she went back. So I too can go back. I too can do certain things. And there's a brilliant story from Haji Mohammed in the book on how we shouldn't beg to be white. Let's not assimilate or do things as they've been done without questioning. So there's that as well. So that the book will offer you the RDP of the soul, and it will offer you inspiration and motivation to do something about your life and the life of those around you. But the book also is a mirror to your generation, Kwena, to say, we haven't done enough. I think Martha Miller speaks brilliantly in the book about how the older generation should actually be apologetic to the younger one, should actually listen. And this was also Susan Boyan's message when we had the book discussion at St. Oster Fiers, that more should be done, but from the older generation, we need you to listen to the young people. Don't just dismiss, they want to protest. Oh, they're burning buildings. Mm. We need to find the cause of that. And I think this proverb puts it perfectly, that a child who doesn't feel the warmth of the village will burn that village to feel its warmth. And we've seen it figuratively and literally happening in South Africa.
Mm. Let's take a call from Wayne calling us from Diepsloot. Wayne, good evening. Wayne? Okay, let's see, Dumelo, let's see if we can get Wayne to... Okay, let's see if we can get... So, Thembalethu, as we wind down the conversation, so you to me, you sound like you are a bit too serious, that you focus too much on school books and writing. What do you do for fun?
For fun?
Please don't tell me you read books for fun, because reading books is not fun.
It can be.
No.
So for fun, we do a lot of things. I love hiking. And actually, let me take this opportunity and be opportunistic, Kwena, and invite your viewers who are in Stellenbosch and in the surrounding areas that we are hiking on Sunday. We are summiting Kutenberg Mountain in aid of Action for Inclusion. The hike will be led by Prof. Thuli Madonsela, and you will find the posters and details on her timeline, and you can just search for Action for Inclusion on Twitter to find the details as well. So I love hiking. Mm-hmm. I do hiking for fun, but I do it also for social justice. So I have fun while advancing good causes. That's what I do.
Yeah, you see, everything with you still has a good cause. I thought you'd say I play soccer, I watch movies, I dance, something.
I wish I watch people with so much admiration who can play soccer. I can't. I tried and I have a scar, a light scar in my knee, and then I stop.
As for scar, let's quickly see if we can get to Wayne in Deep Slot. Wayne?
Hello.
Yes.
I wanted to comment also and kind of like ask for a favor from the caller. Well, I'm very glad first that I got to reach to you guys, and then yes.
Mm.
Well, I'm quite interested to hear his story, you know, how he had to manage to write a book from highly professional people. Because as a young person myself, I feel inspired to see someone at my age group doing something like that, you know. And then, well, I still wish for him to go very far, you know, reach other places. You know, South Africa is broad. It has so many of its challenges that it's facing daily. And for me as a young person at my 20s to say...
Ah, man, Wayne's line is just not doing justice to that. Wayne?
Hi. Hello.
Yeah, your line is so bad. Hey, we keep losing you.
So just
briefly, what's your question to Temba?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a request. Can he reach out to one gay leader as a contestant to that show? That's my request.
Okay. Okay. Wait, Temba, there's a challenge for you.
Wayne, you are very, very kind, and thank you for your generous words. I'm grateful and very heartwarmed to hear it coming from another young person. With the request also to join, I've got so many other things that I've got my hands in. I do board membership at another NGO, and I've got the social justice project. I promise I will look into it
Temba, everything about you don't do anything for fun, Wayne. You're starting to worry me.
My dad has been trying to convince me for the longest time to actually join it. He watches it, he follows it, and he thinks I would be great and brilliant. But Gwen, I'm also an introvert who's mastered the art of being an extrovert.
Oh, shush.
So being on TV might perhaps not be my thing. Maybe I can do radio fluently and without worry, but TV, I'll think about it.
I get you. So, okay, let me see if I can get you to at least give us a little bit of insight of the fun side. So how would you spend your day off? Very short, sharp questions to the point.
Okay, my day would start to wake up at 5 and I would do the academic work. No.
Let's move on. What type of music are you into?
Love songs. I love Adele. I love Sam Smith. Any of those two, any day, any time of the day.
Chama Boy style. Yeah.
And I love good food as well. I go out a lot to try out different restaurants and different menus.
What was the last thing you read that was not academic?
I'm not sure if you would consider Malaika's Corridors of Death as academic.
Okay. Good book. Good book that, yeah.
It's a brilliant, brilliant book. Well done to her.
Yeah. What was the last TV show you binge watched?
No, I didn't binge watch.
I don't watch TV.
No, I didn't binge watch any show.
What was the last TV show that you watched?
I can't even remember.
You don't watch TV.
No, I think the last thing I watched was Ready Savvy's Judgment Date with Judge Dennis Davis. I think that was the last thing I watched.
That also doesn't even qualify as TV. You know, I'm thinking Grey's Anatomy, Isbaya, The Queen, something.
I'm not a TV person.
Yeah, no, I knew it. You would go there. Temba, we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you so much for taking time to speak to us. Love your work. You are an inspiration. You said you're not too much active on social media, but we're going to ask for your handles nonetheless.
Before I say my thank you, people can find me on Twitter under @justice_Seisi. On Facebook, I am Tembaleto Seisi. I'm not on Instagram because I don't have a flashy life. Kwena, I must say my gratitude to you and to the station and to your producer, Tumelo, who's been an absolute delight to work with. He's been so gracious and so kind. And to your listeners as well, thank you very much and be blessed.
Thank you very much, Tembalesh, too. Say he's the author and a law student. Do check out that book, 21 Life Lessons at 21. It's really great to see young people doing some great things. Absolutely great. I mean, quite inspirational. And then the number of people that he has spoken to that are featured in the book just makes one want to go out there and really read the book. So do check it out. Follow him on the social media spaces and see if you can do that.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.